next on the 5 o'clock report.
I just can't stop smiling.
They've got to have some sort of very serious justification for that.
The best way to be able to minister to women and give them what they need.
This was a huge victory for life.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Touchdown for Coach Kennedy. Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Mark Webster. Another major decision issued by the United States Supreme Court today, this time over religious freedom. In a 6-3 ruling, justices sided with a former high school football coach who lost his job for repeatedly praying at the 50-yard line after games. The high court ruling Joe Kennedy's free speech rights were violated, along with the free exercise of religion.
I just can't stop smiling, and, you know, thank God and thank everybody that supported me, and I found out that I'm not insane.
Kennedy, an assistant coach at Bremerton High School in Washington State, his attorney, Kelly Shackelford, with First Liberty Institute, says the decision affirms that free speech and free exercise are both protected under the First Amendment.
Whether that's a teacher bowing their head over their meal, or whether that's coach going for 15 to 20 seconds after the game and saying a prayer, a silent prayer, you have a right to do that.
Shackelford says the school district probably should have known better than to fire Kennedy over his on-field prayers.
If the government is going to infringe upon that, and in this case, really fire him because he exercises First Amendment rights, they've got to have some sort of very serious justification for that.
Not everyone's happy about that court deciding in favor of Kennedy. Legal Director for Americans United, Richard Katsky, says the decision regarding Kennedy ignores that a coach has power over his students.
How do you know whether students are joining voluntarily as opposed to having to go along to get along, recognizing that they better pray if they want to play?
As for what's next, Kennedy says he'd just like to be back on the Bremerton sideline.
As soon as the school district says, hey, come back, I am there. Absolutely. Found out this morning, I expect some phone calls today from him.
Now to the latest on the High Court's big decision Friday, the one that overturned the longstanding nationwide abortion precedent set by Roe v. Wade. The weekend after that decision was marred by violent protests by pro-abortion demonstrators who smashed windows in Portland, Oregon, blocked freeways, and assaulted police in Los Angeles, drew graffiti on the side of a pro-life clinic in Lynchburg, Virginia. In Colorado, a Christian pregnancy center was firebombed, and the state capitals of Vermont and Arizona targeted by pro-choice protesters. Women on both sides of the abortion debate speaking out over the weekend.
I'm frustrated for the women that won't be allowed to have the choice, that they are being told what to do by someone that doesn't know them or their circumstances.
Different people want different things. So I actually think that the best way to be able to minister to women and give them what they need is by having it be at the state level.
Ohio Republican Jim Jordan says pro-lifers prevailed despite repeated attempts to intimidate them.
This was a huge victory for life, but it was also a victory over the intimidation tactics of the left. But none of that mattered. The court did the right thing, and they said the Constitution means what it says, and we got a victory for life.
Jordan is the ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee. Some companies, including Pennsylvania-based Dick's Sporting Goods, are saying they'll pay the expenses of women who want to travel out of state to obtain abortions. CBS's Jim Krasula says legal experts predict that won't be as straightforward as those companies seem to think it'll be.
Experts say the growing number of large U.S. companies that have said they will pay workers abortion-related travel costs could expose them to lawsuits and even potential criminal liability. Companies will face a patchwork of state laws and are likely to face pushback from anti-abortion groups and Republican-led states.
In another decision released today, the Supreme Court said it will not revisit a landmark decision on the First Amendment that set a higher bar to claim libel. New York Times versus Sullivan was a 1964 ruling that established public figures needing to show actual malice to bring about a libel suit against an individual or media outlet. Conservative Justice Clarence Thomas dissented from the court's decision to turn away that appeal. A surprise announcement by the January 6th House Committee has Washington buzzing. The panel scheduled a public hearing at 1 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow to focus on recently obtained evidence and witness testimony. The full House is in recess, and the committee hadn't planned to resume hearings until the middle of next month. Two people are dead, 20 injured, after a Russian airstrike hit a Ukrainian mall. Nine of those injured are said to be in serious condition. Ukrainian President Zelensky says around 1,000 people were thought to have been inside that shopping mall at the time of the attack. Officials said they're unsure how many might still be trapped in the rubble. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says more U.S. military aid is on the way.
Do intend to finalize a package that includes advanced, medium, and long-range air defense capabilities for the Ukrainians.
Zelensky says his country's war with Russia must end by winter because otherwise weather conditions will make it more difficult for his troops to fight the Russians. A conservative denomination quits the National Association of Evangelicals.
The Presbyterian Church in America is dropping its membership in the NEA over the latter organization's involvement in politics. The PCA General Assembly says, quote, the NEA has frequently intermeddled in civil affairs by publicly pushing for action on the environment, immigration, and has changed its original stance on the death penalty. The PCA is traditionally conservative, and the NAE has been moving gradually left of center in recent years.
Stuck at the airport recently? Flight cancellations are soaring with no signs of letting up. NBC's Sam Brock reports on the airline chaos ahead of the 4th of July holiday weekend.
Projections show about 11 million passengers planning to take to the skies for the July 4th holiday, right about where we were before the pandemic. The big difference right now, though, is that airlines, as we know, are looking at critical staffing shortages.
Well, if you're driving instead of flying, in these days of record high prices, AAA is warning about an increase in fuel theft.
Thieves are looking for crimes of opportunity, and this is just the latest one that they're looking at doing, is actually targeting parked vehicles and stealing gasoline from the tanks of the vehicles, and it's happening in various cities all across the country.
Doug Shoup is communications director for the Automobile Association of America. He says to stop this kind of gas pilfering,
make sure that you park your vehicle in your garage if you have a garage. If not, you know, try to have some surveillance cameras, security lights. Also, when you're parking in public, look for like a fenced-in area or a secured parking lot.
Shoup tells Fox News gas thieves are drilling into the gas tanks of cars to steal their gas. Still to come on the 5 o'clock report, tragedy at a Southern Tier racetrack, a stinky weekend in Buffalo South Towns, and assessing the impact of Roe versus Wade on New York politics.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The call for tonight, partly cloudy skies for some, turning clear, starry and cool overnight, patchy fog in some valleys, low temperatures dipping toward 50 for some. A good deal of sunshine and pleasant tomorrow, high temperature in the 70s. Wednesday, some sunshine, a bit warmer, and there could be a stray shower in western or central New York Wednesday afternoon. High temperatures on Wednesday will be not far from 80.
All right, thank you, Kevin. Now checking the stories making news where you live across New York and Pennsylvania. A highly anticipated night of motorsports turned tragic Saturday evening when a driver died and a track worker was injured at Woodhull Raceway in Steuben County. 50-year-old veteran race driver Art Goodyear of Osceola, Pennsylvania, died after suffering a heart attack and crashing during a qualifying race. A track flagger, Neil Stoddard of Arkport, was seriously injured when he was struck by Goodyear's car as it sped out of control in the infield area of that track. A poll worker who pre-stamped ballots for Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown pleads guilty to a misdemeanor charge. 59-year-old Lou Spana of Buffalo had been facing a felony charge that could have carried up to 4 years in prison. She officially pleaded guilty to one count of attempting to commit a crime against the elective franchise. Last November, incumbent Mayor Brown was running as a riding candidate after losing the Democratic primary to India Walton, who ran as a Democratic socialist. Voters needed to write down Brown's name on their ballot or stamp it using stamps his campaign handed out. Brown ended up winning the election by more than 10,000 votes. New York Governor Kathy Hochul is hoping the reversal of Roe will help her become the state's first elected female governor. She's involved in the three-way Democratic primary tomorrow. Family Life's Bob Price spoke with the chairman of the Steuben County Republican Party, Joe Sempelinski, today about how the abortion debate is going to factor into this fall's midterm elections.
Dust has yet to settle on the recent Roe reversal. Joe, we want to know, has this court action awakened a sleeping giant with everybody talking about this impending red tidal wave that's coming in November? Could this motivate some people who weren't going to vote to come out and vote on Election Day?
Well, that's certainly possible, but I think what's important about the Roe ruling, which was the correct ruling in my opinion, is one, it's going to protect a lot of children. children, but also it's going to put the determination of what abortion policy is in this country back in the hands of the people it should have been in the whole time, which is the people, through their legislative representatives at the state level. That is who will be determining what policy is going forward. And I think that's appropriate. We've had this gummed up in the courts for the last 50 years, and the voice of the people has been stymied. So it's possible it may motivate folks. Now, one thing that may mitigate that a little bit is the fact that it was leaked. We sort of knew this was coming. So this wasn't a dramatic shock to people that this ruling was pending.
Yeah, we had conservative commentator Mark Levin on earlier on this program saying that he thinks the Democrats have exploited the abortion issue for political gain. The million-dollar question, Joe, is what will matter more on the minds of voters come November? How much they're paying for gasoline or this issue? What do you think?
Well, every poll indicates inflation is the number one issue in America right now. That's what's motivating people, and that is something that's going to motivate people across the ideological spectrum, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, a liberal or a conservative, especially in a rural area, you've got to put gas in your car. You've got to buy food. Food shortages, gas prices, overall inflation, that's the type of thing that affects every single person, regardless of their ideological position. And I just don't see how, when things are so bad in that area, that people put back in power the people that are already in power. The Democratic Party controls all levers of power at both the federal level and in New York State at the state level.
Yeah.
So that's what's really, I think, going to motivate people the most going into this election.
Joe Sempulinski, chairman of the Steuben County Republican Party, speaking with our Bob Price. A new AARP poll shows candidates for governor and U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania should pay close attention to the over 50 crowd heading into a crucial election year. Issues like inflation, jobs, and the economy weigh heavily on the minds of that particular voting bloc. The over 50 crowd makes up 60% of all Pennsylvania voters. The latest poll gives Attorney General Josh Shapiro a narrow lead over State Senator Doug Mastriano in the governor race. Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman has a 6-point lead over TV Dr. Mehmet Oz in the race for U.S. Senate. And National Fuel is turning gas services back on in its Buffalo Southtown area. Service was temporarily suspended on Saturday due to an issue with mercaptan, also known as that rotten egg smell that's added to natural gas to help detect a leak. National Fuel says odorant pumps from a compressor station were pumping twice the typical level of mercaptan into the gas system, which is why residents were reporting such a bad stink. Your nightly business report is next, brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Wall Street closing lower following last week's market rebound. Stocks sank in afternoon trading after stronger than expected durable goods data. Shares in Spirit Airlines fell 8% after the company said it would accept the latest takeover bid from Frontier Group. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 62 points to 31,438. The S&P 500 lost 11 points to 3900, and NASDAQ dropped 83 points to 11,524. Ambassador Advisors, a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Details are available at ambassadoradvisors.com. This is the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
If Jeopardy had a category, things people procrastinate about, making out a will might be top of the list. Hi, I'm Rob West with today's MoneyWise Minute. Imagine a court freezing your assets, then combing through every detail of your finances for months or longer. That's exactly what happens if you die without a will. Fortunately, it's easy to spare your loved ones that burden and give them some comfort in your passing. A will is essential if you want to avoid having your family go through the hardship of the probate court deciding how your assets will be distributed. The good news is, drafting a will is relatively inexpensive. If you don't have a will yet, get with an estate attorney today to draw one up. You can find one who shares your Christian values by clicking Find a CKA at MoneyWise.org. Manage your finances wisely with the easy-to-use MoneyWise app. Download MoneyWise Biblical Finance from your app store or learn more at moneywise.org.
Still to come on the 5 o'clock report, prepare to meet the world's ugliest dog.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. We've got a cool night ahead and a pleasant day due tomorrow as friendly high pressure will dominate. In fact, our weather will stay pretty comfortable into Wednesday before the heat builds temporarily late this week. The call for tonight, partly cloudy skies for some, turning clear, starry and cool overnight, patchy fog in some valleys, Low temperatures dipping toward 50 for some. A good deal of sunshine and pleasant tomorrow. High temperature in the 70s. Wednesday, some sunshine, a bit warmer. There could be a stray shower in western or central New York Wednesday afternoon. High temperatures on Wednesday will be not far from 80.
All right, thank you very much, Kevin. And finally at 5.
Just put on a happy face.
The world has a new ugliest dog, and his name is, you might have guessed it, Mr. Happy Face. He's a 17-year-old hairless Chinese crested Chihuahua mix who took the dubious title on Friday at the Sonoma Marin Fair in Petaluma, California. His owner entered him into the contest at the last minute only because she happened to be visiting the area from Flagstaff, Arizona with her dog. Despite the lack of classic looks, Mr. Happy Face has a story that could put a smile on any dog lover's face. He's a rescue from an abusive home. The shelter warned the current owner, Jeanette Bonet, when she adopted Happy, that he might only live days or a few weeks. You see, he's got tumors, neurological issues, he needs a diaper, struggles to stand upright or walk, and his head sits kind of askew from his body. But despite all of those obstacles, he's found new love and new life in his adopted home for 10 months and counting now. Mr. Happy Face and family took home a $1,500 prize, earned a trip to New York City to appear on the Today Show, the annual competition held to promote adoption of pets who might not look exactly like the ones you see at Westminster, was the first held since 2019 due to the pandemic. You just got to be happy for Mr. Happy Face. And that's the world we live in for Monday, June 27th, 2022. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Mark Webster, Family Life News.